Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. I'm going to take my jacket off on this one. Thanks, my friend. Well, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse number 35 is where we're going to pick up today. Hebrews chapter 10. Going line upon line, precept upon precept. The title, if you're taking notes or for sake of reference, the title of this morning's message is Longevity for the Long Term. Now, that's kind of like a double descriptive. That's kind of saying like, I'm in it in the long term for the long term. And I thought long and hard about that. And I wanted to put it that way because, you know, God's desire for us, his people, his church, is to be in this life, in this relationship, in this thing that we would call Christianity for the long term. It's not a game. It's not a trial. It's not a, well, let me test this out, see how this works. So you and I have got to have this long-term commitment to follow after and to stay after the things of God. And last week, as Pastor Dan was talking out of Hebrews, the 10th chapter in the 35th verse, we're going to look at verse number 35 again. And we're also going to look at verse number 36 and just pull some simple but important truths out of the Word of God for you and I to apply in longevity for the long term and staying in this for the long haul and staying consistent and committed to God, not just in the trials of life, but in the ups and the downs, in the ins and the outs, through all aspects of life, staying consistent in our relationship with God so that we can do and we can be exactly who God has called us to be. So here in Hebrews in the 10th chapter, we see in verse number 35, where we're going to read today, starts off by saying, therefore. Now, you and I, we've been taught here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center that whenever you see the word therefore, we always say it like this, it's there for a reason. You can describe it like this, or if you were to use another word, you could say something like consequently. Consequently, because of what was just said, now I'm saying this. Now, in order to understand what we're looking at here in the verse, in the 35th verse, we've got to look at the concept or the idea or the context of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. And if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we were really getting into some very difficult scriptures or passages of scriptures when it comes to Christianity, because it's talking about those who are drawing away or who are pulling back. And the Bible speaks a very strong message to those who have come and who have joined into the body of Christ, who have experienced the presence of God, who have tasted and seen and then have pulled back and the consequences thereof. And we saw this in Hebrews in the 10th chapter. We saw this warning once before in Hebrews in the 6th chapter talking about that as well. And so it's a very serious, a very sombering, a very sobering message for us to realize that once we get into this, this isn't a tryout. This isn't a let me test it out and see how it is. This is God's desires. Hey man, once you're in, you're in. And so because of that, now the authors of Hebrews says, because of what I've just said, consequently, now this is important for you and I to understand. And he says, therefore, consequently, do not cast away, do not throw away, do not get rid of or give away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, Pastor Dan talked about that last week, talking about our works, our confidence in God. And we talked about this as well in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Confidence can also be said as the word boldness. We saw that boldness and confidence can oftentimes be mistaken as arrogance or conceit, but let's not get off the topic. It is not arrogance. It is not conceit. He is not saying don't toss away your arrogance or your conceit. He's saying don't toss away your foundation, your root, your confidence, that which you have, your expectation of something to happen. Don't toss it away, which it has great reward. Verse number 36, in lieu of what we've just read, I want to include this into what we're talking about today, because the author of Hebrews says this now. He says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And he goes on and he begins to quote out of the Old Testament that there will be a time when the Lord will no longer tarry or no longer wait, and he will come. And now, so you and I have a responsibility to do some things, to keep on or hold on to our confidence, to keep on to our endurance and to hold on. And so I want to talk about a consistency in our relationship with God and in our walk with God. You see, I heard a statement one time a long time ago from a pastor, Pastor Andy Stanley, on the other side of the United States. He said this statement, it was really intriguing to me, and I think it's just so true. He says, we live in a world that baits us to the edge and then mocks us when we fall over. And that's so true. If I could say it like this, we live in a highly hypocritical world. A world that says, hey, listen, you need to stand for something. You need to have a reason and you need to have a cause and stick to your ground and we support you and everybody has a freedom to say something as long as it's what I agree with. And if it's not, I'll persecute you, I won't like you, I'll exclude you. And so we live in this world that says, do what you need to do, but only do it as long as it fits in. The problem is the world that we live in is not just highly hypocritical, but this word hypocrite, which literally, when you look back into the definition of the Greek word hypocrite, literally comes from the actor. The person who was an actor on the stage, they were playing a role. They were playing somebody who they were not. And as the drama or the play was over, they would remove the mask and be who they really were. And a hypocrite, as you and I would know, is defined as somebody who says something but does something else. The problem that we have is that this word hypocrite is often synonymous with the word Christian. And it should never be that the word hypocrite or hypocrisy should ever be in the same sentence, the same thought process, the same category as the term church or Christianity. Now let's get honest, let's be truthful for a moment. We've all said things that we've regretted. We've all done things that we knew we shouldn't have done. You know, just a few weeks ago I was on the phone with a friend of mine and he asked me a question and I said something that I should not have said. And I texted him back and says, man, I'm so sorry. I should not have said that to you. We've all made mistakes. We've all said things and we've all... The reason is that while we walk according to the Spirit, we still have this flesh body. So I'm not speaking to, oh, well, somebody said something and they didn't quite follow up or they made a mistake. But in terms of hypocrisy, when we look at the long term of our life, when we look at the course of our life, we should always strive to say that when somebody looks upon us, looks back at us and says, man, they were never inconsistent with what they said. They were never somebody who said something and did something else, but rather they followed through with what they did. You see, God's desire, God's plan, God's purpose for us, His church, is to be consistent, to be in this for the long term, for the long haul, to hold on to the longevity of the Word of God so that we can be who God has called us to be. So this morning, looking out of those two verses out of the book of Hebrews, I want to just take a couple simple truths that you and I can apply into our lives so that we can remain consistent for the long term. So we're going to look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 35. Look at some of these things. They're rather obvious right in front of us, but I just want to talk about staying consistent for the long term. The first thought for this morning in staying consistent in the long term is that we have got to keep our confidence in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You see how I have it on the screen in all capitals? Because it's so easy for us to put our confidence in everything else around us. We learned that in 2008 that we can't put our confidence in the stock market or the real estate market. Many of you in this place, your retirement or your savings plan or whatever it might have been, you had maybe had some confidence there. Well, it's always going up, 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 up. Well, we found out that we can't put our confidence in that. We can't put our confidence in those around us because we've seen over time that people will eventually let us down. Our confidence must not be in anything else but Christ. Let me ask you this question. Just participate with me. Entertain me for a minute. How many of you have ever been on an airplane? Wow, you guys are a bunch of flying people. All right. Can I ask you a question? When you got on that airplane, when you went on that trip, did you go up to the ticket counter and say to them, can I see the credentials of the pilot flying the plane? Can you tell me what he's done? How long has he been with the company? Where was he before he was with your company? Where did he learn to fly? Did he learn to fly in the military? Did he learn to fly on his own? Can I see the maintenance record and log of this airplane? I want to make sure that every little... Can you show that? No. You know what you did? You waited in line, they called your boarding tier, and you ran on that plane as fast as you could to get on that little tiny squeezed-in seat so that you could get your armrest before somebody else, right? That's what you did. Some of you say, you know, Pastor, like, I've never flown on an airplane before. Okay, let me bring it home. I, with the exception of the four ushers that I see standing right now, everybody else in this room is sitting. Did you, when you walked into this room, look at that green chair that you're sitting in right now and kind of come over to it and shake the seat and look at, make sure that the armrest and kind of hold the back. Is it going to hold me up? No. You know what you did? You came in and you sat down. Why? Because you have a confidence that the airline pilot is qualified to do his job. You have a confidence that the airline is taking care of that airplane so that you would get from point A to point B, and your life is literally in their hands. You have a confidence that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center has a staff of members or of employees that watch the chairs to make sure they work. So it's so easy for us to put our confidence into other things. We never even think about, well, this guy flying the airplane has my life in his hands. But yet we easily surrender it off. But when it comes time to, when rubber meets the road, when it comes time to put our confidence in Christ, well, you know, I'm just not quite sure about, you know, my business. I'm not quite sure about my children. I'm not quite sure about my finances. I'd rather put my confidence in what the Harvest Business Journal says, or I'd rather put my confidence about my kids into to what the doctors say, or I'd rather put my confidence in this over. And you see, we got to understand that it's not about everything around us. Our confidence is in Christ. Our confidence is in Christ. Going back to Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse number 35. Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse number 35, it says, therefore, do not cast away, throw away your confidence, because it has great reward. Our confidence in Jesus Christ is the foundation for our lives. I'm going to say a very important statement. I hope you get this. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our life, not the stepping stone. I believe I heard that from Tony Cook, so I'll give him the credit for that. But Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our life, not the stepping stone. You see, a stepping stone is something that you stand on, that you get a firm grip on, or you get your balance on. And when you get there, once you've established your balance, then you move forward to the next. Oftentimes, we come into this relationship. We come into church and we say, God, I need help. God, I'm a wreck. I need you to fix me. And we give our lives to Christ and we look to Jesus, and all of a sudden something begins to change. And then when something begins to change and things get better, we start looking to the future and to what we can step to the next. Well, now that I'm good, let me go over here. Now that my life has been, now that my children are successful, let me step to here. And you see, Jesus Christ is not like a stair on the staircase of life that we stand on in order to elevate ourselves. Jesus is the cornerstone. You see, a cornerstone was the biggest rock, or the most solid stone in a foundation laid in the corner of a building. It was chiseled to exact specifications, and upon that stone, everything else was laid, or everything else was measured by. So Jesus literally is the foundation for which everything in our lives is built on, rather than a platform for us to become better in life. That means our confidence is in Christ. Are you guys with me today? Paul the Apostle in Philippians in the 4th chapter, he says, it's a very familiar verse. Many of us know this, Philippians in the 4th chapter, verse number 13. Paul the Apostle says these words. He says, I can do all things because I am the man. I can do all things because I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. I can do all things because I was taught by the best teacher. I can do all things because I'm a Roman citizen. Paul the Apostle tells us this, right? In case you didn't know, no, it's on the screen. Paul the Apostle, who just got done telling us, I could brag. I could tell you, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was raised in the best of schools. I've got the citizenship. I've got the resume that you need. He says, it's not about that. I count that as waste. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, everything that he built his life upon was upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, not the stepping stone. Therefore, you and I, in order to be consistent through the long term of our lives, our confidence must always be in Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're talking about staying consistent for the long term, always keeping our confidence in Christ. Secondly, don't give up when results aren't apparent. Don't give up when results aren't apparent. You see, results are mandatory in salvation. It's quiet. Let me. Here's why. There's this book that we follow called the Bible. You with me? In the Bible, we read about Jesus who died for our sins. But you see, the Bible tells us that Jesus on the third day rose again, right? The power of God. You see, so now the power of God that resurrected Jesus now lives and dwells in us. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but now Christ who lives in me. So therefore, if God is a God of power, Jesus is the avenue of which that comes. When we come into Jesus, therefore, we have power in our lives. And if we have power in our lives, that produces something in us. So there are results to follow salvation. But they may not always be apparent. But let me explain this to you. Just because it's not apparent doesn't mean it's not present. Let me paint a picture for you. You take a seed and you put it in the dirt. You put water on the dirt and results will begin to happen. Although they may not be apparent, they are present there. Why? They are below the level of the dirt. That seed is breaking open. The plant is breaking through the dirt and it is making its way to ground level. And eventually, the results will become apparent as that seed breaks through the level of ground. So here in Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse number 36, it says, "For you have need of endurance." We have got to learn to stay, to commit, to hold on, even if results may not be apparent at the moment, they are present in our life through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, we're to bring this home. I bet you each and every one of us in this room can think of one person by name that has come, that has been in the house of God, that has been in the presence of God, that has followed Christ, and they did not see what they were hoping for. They did not get the results that they were expecting, and they gave up. So here, the exhortation to you and I is to have endurance, to hold on to what God has said, to hold on to the promises of God, to maintain your endurance in life. All too often, Christianity is equated to or is treated as a sprint. When it's a sprint race, the gun goes off and everybody runs at full power as fast as they can for as long as they can, whether it's a short distance or a moderately longer distance. But you see, Christianity is not a sprint. It is more like a marathon. Why? Because we are in it for the long haul. You know, you look at a marathon, if you watch the start of a marathon, they do not start the marathon off sprinting. But I'm not saying to start your walk with God off slow, because they also don't start walking. They start at a consistent and steady pace because they know that there is a beginning, there is a middle, and there is an end. And each one of them has its own challenges, and we have got to learn to pace ourselves. And all too often, we come into this as a sprint. Man, you come to church, God, I need help, God, I need help. Okay, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm ready. Pastor counts, claps his hands. Woo, that's me, I'm ready. It's like a flash in the pan. And all of a sudden, you see those people, and you've seen people like that in a month or a week or a year later. They're back to exactly where they were because they did not see the results that they were hoping for. But look what it says in the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. Galatians in the 6th chapter, oh, such an encouraging verse. Galatians in the 6th chapter, verse number 9 says, "Let us not grow weary while sitting in church." Let us not grow weary while listening to the pastor preach. No, let us not grow weary while doing good, while putting something to work, while sowing the seed. Why? Because he says, "For in due season you will reap." How? If you don't lose We've seen in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a season, there's a time for laughing and there's a time for crying. There's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping. And so when results may not be apparent in our life, but if we've got the power of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, they are present in our lives. And you may be sowing and somebody may be reaping. But take heart that somebody will sow and that you will reap. Paul says, man, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was Christ who gave the increase. that we have got to learn to hold on, even though we may not see what's going on, that God is able, capable, and faithful, and we will be consistent in the long term. We're talking about staying consistent in the long term. Third and final thought for this morning. First was to keep our confidence in Christ. Secondly was to not give up. Third one is to keep pressing forward in action. In action. See how it's in all caps? In action. I love how the Bible equates Christianity to a race. It's brilliant. Why? Because the worst thing somebody running a race can do is go backwards. Think about it. They can stop and take a break. They can fall down and not move forward. But if they go backwards, they're literally doubling their effort. I have my sister-in-law started running half marathons. And as she was running these half marathons, you know, I could say without having her up here and having her tell the story, I could say without a shadow of a doubt, it would be inconceivable for her to start running her race. And as she's got her pace going, to just kind of, I'm going to go this way instead. And start running back the way she came. And then she sees everybody's running the other way. Because when you're running a long distance like that, you want to get from point A to point B as soon as you can. By going backwards, you're literally adding to the labor of your race. The worst thing somebody could do in a race is go backwards. And so to equate Christianity as a race is saying the worst thing you and I could do to our life, to our relationship, to those around us, is to be inconsistent by going backwards in the race that God has called us to go forwards for. And so as she goes in this half marathon, she knows, she looks at the map and she knows the direction where she's supposed to go. She knows what area is the uphill, what area is the downhill. She knows where they're going to hand out water, where they'll hand out the energy gel. She knows where her family and her friends should be to root her on. Why? So that she would continue to put one foot in front of the other foot, 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 and keep going and going and going and going and going and going so that she finishes her race. If we want to stay consistent for the long term, we have got to remember to put one foot in front of the other. In action, start doing something. Look what it says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 36. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Works and salvation go hand in hand. Oftentimes we get afraid or churches kind of, I don't know if I want to talk about works. Why? Because humans, we're like water. We seek the path of least resistance. So you start talking about works and it's easier to do good than it is to live a living sacrifice. So we say, well, I'll do more good in my life and that will make me good with God. But we know, we heard this last week with Pastor Dan, we know that we are not saved by our works. We are saved through Jesus Christ. I love this. I've already used his name once in a reference. I'll just throw him out there again. Tony Cook says this wonderful quote. He's the king of quotes. Works are not the root of our salvation. They are the fruit of it. Works are not the root of our salvation. They are the fruit of our salvation. So you see, we are required, we are responsible through the power of Jesus Christ in operation in us to have works, to have fruit, to put one foot in front of the next foot. Listen, it may not be a big step that you take, but at least it's a step. Moving forward in the right direction, one foot in front of the next, over and over and over and over again. You know, I remember I'd heard a celebrity talking about his faith one time, and he was saying, and he made this statement, it's really intriguing to me. He says, you know, I have a quiet faith. My faith is a quiet faith. And I thought, man, that's a real interesting statement. You know, that's great for you. If you want a self-help message, a quiet faith is just great. It's wonderful. But what about the people that you love that need what you have? What about the people that you know that need what you have? What about the people that you don't know, but you see that they need what you have? You see, a quiet faith is great for you. A quiet faith is great for me personally. But you see, our faith is not a quiet faith. That's why the Bible tells us that the Word of God was confirmed by signs, wonders, and miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Word of God is backed by the power of God. We're not just a book on a shelf that we follow and hope, like Mike Key said on Wednesday, that we hope we've picked the right one. Our faith, our gospel is a gospel of power backed by the power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is loud, it is active, and it is involved in our lives. So we must live a life that works. Well, that's a play on words right about there, isn't it? Life works, right? Jesus comes, gives us life, it works, but then never mind. After you have done the will of God. Philippians, we were there in 4th chapter, Philippians in the 3rd chapter. Paul the Apostle says this, he says, I press towards the goal for the upward call. I press towards the goal. I looked up that word press in the Greek, the original word. Literally means to run for your life. Not just to run for your life. I remember when I was in high school, I tried out for the football team. I didn't make it. And I remember I had to run the 40-yard dash. And my sister's friend at the time, who was a football player, says, listen, let me give you a little bit of advice. He says, when it comes time to run the 40-yard dash and they're timing you, don't just run. He says, imagine the scariest person that you know chasing you and then run. To run for your life. You know that you run in such a way that you are going to finish the race. You think of it like this, in the football, in the NFL, to press towards that prize. Those two teams in their skin-tight pants and shirts and helmets and those 400-pound guys of just droning muscle. When the quarterback puts that football into action, they press. They push against each other. They fight. They're pushing forward, and each one of them is hoping to get past the opposition in front of them to get to their end destination. Paul the Apostle says, I press. I push. I'm striving for. I'm running. But not. I'm not just gonna. Okay, well, I'll run. I'm going to run like I'm running for my life towards the goal. Because that is what God has called me to do. And you might be in a position of your life, you say, Pastor Luke, you know, I've run my race. I've come to the position of my life where I've seen the fruit, or, you know, and it's not, you know, what it is, what I did years ago, I'm just not capable of doing. Understand that in every area of a race, there are different seasons and there are different levels. There are those who are starting, that there are those who are running uphill, there are those who are running downhill, those who are coming towards the finish line. And you may not be able to do what you did in the beginning when you started because of your life or because of what's going on, but you can still do something by putting one foot in front of the next, one foot in front of the next, one foot in front of the next. To press towards that goal. Christianity is certainly about works. Let's not be mistaken about that. In conclusion, what it boils down to is this: longevity. Longevity. What it all comes down to is that one word, longevity. Longevity says I'll stick to my commitment even if it hurts. And at the end of my life, I will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Longevity says that at the end of my life, when people reflect upon what I have done and what I have said, even if they don't agree or they did not like me, they will say that I was consistent and held to my beliefs. That's God's desire for us. To be consistent and to hold on so that we cannot be, or we can go beyond being a hypocrite in a hypocritical world, but we are consistent in who we are. Pastor Jim has always taught us this, and all my life I've heard this, is that commitment without consistency is no commitment at all. Commitment without consistency is no commitment at all. And I want to conclude with this. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew. Go with me to the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Verse number 3, we'll start. They come and they ask him. And now he sat at the Mount of Olives. In verse number 3 of Matthew chapter 24. Now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered to them and said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. These are all the beginning of sorrows. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That sounds a lot like the world that you and I live in this day and age. But listen to the very next statement that Jesus says to his disciples. In verse number 13, he says, But he who endures till the end shall be saved. He who endures. Guys, this is not a tryout. This is not a trial period. Jesus says, man, you're in this. You are in this till the end. So I want to encourage you to stay with it, to stick with it. And I love what he says at the end of that, verse number 14, and he says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. Who is going to preach the gospel in those times? Those who endure. Those who endure. You say, Pastor Luke, you're talking about works. You're talking about doing something with your life. Pastor Luke, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my calling is. Like soldiers in an army, we all have a specialized mission. We all have a specialized calling in our lives. But just like soldiers in an army, even though we all might have a specialized mission, that way you can't look at somebody and say, man, I need to do what they're doing because that's what God has called them to do. We all have a common goal, a common commitment, and one thing that we all share, and that is to go into the world and tell them about Jesus. To go to the world. The world may be across the oceans, or the world might be across the street. It might even be across the cubicle or the desk, wherever it might be. But we all have one common commission to tell the world about Jesus. You may have no clue what your calling is to do, but you can start by being faithful to the commission that God has brought you into. And today I want to conclude with this thought. There may be some of you in this place today. You come in here and you feel like you're at the end of your rope. You feel like, man, I'm on the verge of giving up. Let me share with you this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep your confidence in Jesus Christ. Keep your confidence in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. That those who do not lose heart will reap. Don't give up today. God is for you and with you, and you can and will endure and receive the promise after you have done the will of God. Amen? Praise God. God is good. Amen?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.